service desk.
I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kim. How was your day today, Andrew?
You know, besides having a little bit of a crud, pretty good, actually. It was kind of busy, but I don't know. Things are kind of slowing down a little bit.
You're not working our big... 300 hours?
Yeah. No, the past 2 weeks have been just insane. So I suppose when I say things are slowing down, it's just getting back to normal.
Like normal 40-hour weeks instead of 80 plus.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yuck.
It's like nothing's happening except my standard work week.
What do I do with all this time? I can do more than like go home and pass out.
Right? Exactly. It's like I can think.
Yeah.
What about you?
It's always hard when you have those super busy days. I've been having busier days at work. But it's just like Windows 10 is a major pain in the patookas because, you know, they don't even update my work computer. I'm at, I think I'm at like 16 something for the build. And I've got clients that are out there on the latest 1776, I think is the latest one.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the most recent 1809, like they're being good and keeping up with the updates, but it's a huge problem when the flipping printers aren't installing anymore because we need very specific ones to work with our software to make it go to the other software that isn't ours. And for some reason, they decided on this particular brand of HP that somebody actually did the research and it's like a 20 some year old printer driver. And it's just crazy how...
Yeah, there's some of those that are just...
It's just so old. Like, and so consequently, understandably, Microsoft is not, like, you know, including it in the printer drivers that you can pull in anymore. And so it's just becoming very difficult to get the proper drivers because they don't even exist on, like, the websites where you can go and download printer drivers. You know, like, these printers haven't been supported by... anybody for a long time. And so consequently, there's a bit of delay, of course, when new things come out to see, you know, update to the newest whatever. But like, we just need to get our act together. And between us and this other company, we need to have a conversation and get our stuff together so that it can work. But, you know, proprietary software, man, it's a thing. Oof.
I actually had a, I helped with the ticket today too, where our print shop is having an issue with the main printer. And if you've ever wanted to, like, you know how printers are just the bane of IT?
Yes, in general.
Well, this print shop printer is the boss level. It's legitimately the size and length like a Subway counter, like, you know, where they house all the meats and veggies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like that long, that tall. And it's a beast of a software. Like, it routes to a computer that's running it specifically. And then that computer then runs to the printer. So it's like, oh, it's just complicated. But
so it basically has its own print server?
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
I think it actually has its own print server. And then the print server is actually controlled by a computer that other computers print to.
Oh.
It's really complicated. Yeah.
That sounds like a disaster.
But... so yeah, I was trying to help with that today, and it's a beast. So I hear your pain.
Yes. And it's just one of those things where, like, to an extent, you have to deal with what exists because, you know, you can't change these things overnight and programming takes forever. And I'm sure with that particular piece, it's huge. They probably paid, you know, tens of thousands of dollars for this thing.
Yeah.
And consequently...
well, even just your standard multifunction Kyocera, which is, you know, just what every office has, those things are usually expensive enough to where no one actually buys them. You're just
leasing them
from... yeah.
Which makes sense from a business perspective, because if you lease them, then you get them to come and deal with all the printer things that...
exactly, which is why... pretty much everywhere I've been, when I've had someone come up and say, hey, our printer's not working, can you come take a look at it?
You go, nope.
I can gladly say, do you see that number right on the front there? Go ahead and call that.
Yeah. Although, if you are the printer guy there, well, they have such a specialized area that they can go in and do their thing, and they only have so many versions of their printer that they can come in and work on. So for them to come in and be like, oh, I know exactly what's going on. You need to do XYZ, or this particular piece is worn out, or whatever. Like, they know it backward, forward, and inside out.
I suppose that's a good way to look at it. I always thought they just made a pact with, like, you know, the Dark Lord and sold their soul in order to work with printers.
I generally don't encourage, you know, selling your soul for printer maintenance.
Which is why I'm not a printer tech. So I kind of have, it's not really tech news, but
oh.
I don't know, just evolving tech, which I think is kind of interesting. So, you know, we've been seeing the rise of electric cars.
Yes.
You know, where they're getting more and more, you know, prevalent. You're starting to see, like, the Leaf and even pickups out there that have them.
Oh, yes.
The one thing which I was always just kind of baffled by that you never really saw was electric motorcycles.
Oh, and, well, motorcycles, like, are so fuel efficient, they didn't want to bother.
Yeah, that's kind of true, too. And it has a very unique set of people that like to use them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you had a couple companies like Zero, which specialized in just electric motorcycles, but you never saw someone like Suzuki or Harley Davidson
sure.
make an electric bike until just recently.
Yeah.
So Harley announced that they were making one that's going to go for just a few pennies, like $30,000. And as soon as they announced it, it seems like they kind of kicked the industry. Because now all these other people are starting to announce it.
Oh.
So now, yeah, you're seeing electric bikes now that are going to be kind of around that 11,000 range.
Huh.
The next step up is about 20,000. And then you have Harley just being Harley. And they have their 30,000.
Huh.
But I think this is exciting because it's a good option, I think, for people that live in an area where you commute a lot. And, like, if you live in California or something like that, in the big cities, as a way to reduce the vehicle footprint,
mm-hmm.
I think it's an exciting thing that's going to start happening. So instead of having a car just sitting on the pavement, just, you know, spewing out emissions, you're just going to have this little tiny motorcycle that is completely electric, you know?
So, fun story. I have a friend of mine from Beholder's Eye. Hey, Ben, if you're listening, I hope you heal up quick, buddy. He was recently in a motorcycle accident in California. So
oh.
I'm like,
well, there's always risks that come with it, you know?
Yeah. It makes me super like, don't ride a motorcycle in California.
For me, it's like, you know, around here when I ride my motorcycle, usually it's on trips where I just kind of cruise around and like I'll go up maybe like 80 miles and come back. And it's not really a commute. But a lot of people that are in these larger cities, they rely on it as a commute option. So,
well, and it makes a lot of sense because even just a regular motorcycle is going to be significantly less as far as maintenance and cost of fuel and all that jazz. So if you're safe.
Yeah, the fuel savings is insane. You just need to, you definitely need to be safe. And hopefully your friend there is recovering nicely or wasn't too injured.
Yeah, well, he has a broken thumb, so of all the things he could have broken.
Yeah, that's true.
Pretty.
And the hard part is you can be the best motorcyclist in the world, mm-hmm. you know?
And people are just mean. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about tonight.
What are we here to talk about tonight?
We're talking about Nintendo! Yay!
You mean the Game Station, or... that's my mom put it? Or no, Nintendo is what she called everything.
Yes, and the reason for that, back when game systems were just starting, like you had the Atari, that was kind of, it was big among those who were really into like techie kind of fun stuff, but it wasn't really, you know, like a widespread household name. And it wasn't until Nintendo came along that all of a sudden everybody knew what a Nintendo was. And therefore everything after that, especially in our parents' eyes, it was Nintendo, because there was Nintendo, there was Sega Genesis, there was, you know, all these things, but they were kind of the same thing.
What about the Commodore 64?
Well, that was a personal computer, though.
Yeah.
That you just hooked up to your TV. Most people used it to play games, but it was a personal computer.
I was just trying to be facetious.
I know. But yeah, so Nintendo is kind of like the household name that even if Grandma doesn't really quite understand what you're talking about, if you say Nintendo, she'll probably at least get that much. Like, she'll understand the concept that it hooks up to a TV and you play things on it.
And you play video games.
And consequently, they have some very familiar titles. So everybody knows who Mario is, it seems, anymore. Even if they don't know...
Oh, my plumber covers your area, too.
But even if they don't know, like, you know, specific names of things, like, if you showed somebody a picture of Mario, they would be like, oh, yeah, he's that guy from that thing. Nintendo, maybe? Yeah. So it's kind of fun to see that. And even, I know you kind of mentioned a little bit last time, like, the Wii is used mm-hmm. in a lot of nursing homes now.
Yeah, because there's a lot of even just kind of generalized video games that are just kind of more active, or sports, or, you know, bowling or tennis. And it kind of appeals to a wider range, and it kind of gets people moving, you know. They're able to you're able to do it at your own ability. So you can get full on, you know, jumping around playing tennis, or you can kind of just sit in the chair playing tennis.
Exactly. And like, it gives you a good range of motion without making it too difficult, because the Wiimotes weigh almost nothing, which is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the current generation, they basically have handhelds. It's kind of funny. But they have their 3DS, which has been around for quite some time. And that is the standard take-with-you gaming system mm-hmm. that it has, like, the little... I don't know. How big would you say it is? Like a couple decks of cards maybe put together?
Yeah, more or less like a little notepad.
But yeah, like it's a small little notepad size thing, depending on if you get the extra large or the normal. And it folds up nicely. And one thing that I really enjoy about Nintendo is they make that kind of stuff virtually indestructible. They design it so that it can be beat to pieces and still function. Because they know that little kids are going to be playing these things, and you have to keep, you know, keep things nice, or at least durable enough to be able to deal with an 8-year-old who drops his stuff on the ground or whatever, you know?
I want to say, too, that some of these systems come with an insane warranty, don't they? Where it's like within like a year, it's like no questions asked type of thing, or?
I don't know.
I'm thinking about Amazon. Sorry.
Well,
Amazon has their Kindle that's made for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And their thing is, no questions asked. If your kid dropped it in a toilet, we'll replace it.
We're going to have to talk about tablets at some point.
That'd be, yeah.
Anyway, topic future episode. So,
spoilers.
Little River Song action there. Anyway, so they are very portable, and they hold a charge forever until they start getting older. Mm-hmm. And they're just very geared toward children, basically. So like all of the Pokemon games, which are huge, you know, there's a gajillion and one different Pokemon games. Yeah. And they all use, instead of using like CDs or discs or things, they use these little cartridges, which I don't know, they're about the size of an SD card, a bit bigger than that, a bit thicker than that. So consequently, you want a storage system if you're going to have one of these 3DSs.
Kind of like a case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A case to carry the device in, a cord, and then the different games that you have.
But the nice thing about them is, because they're cartridges, you don't have to worry, like, scratching the surface or...
Exactly,
you know,
why
they're a lot more durable.
Mm-hmm. And they've kept them as cartridges for that reason, because you've got kids and, you know, kids scratch everything to pieces. So if they just do it that way, it's all good.
And the one thing about Nintendo games, brand games that I've seen... And I don't see this a lot with other studios out there, is they really seem to do a good job with making their games cross-generational. So, like, kids love to play the Pokemon game, but, you know, kids my age and, you know, kids your age are also playing it as well.
Well, and they've tried to get out into some of the other devices a little bit with Pokemon Go. And there's another, I forget what the other one is called. But
Mario Run, I think.
Oh, yep, that one. So they're trying to keep us all engaged, even if we're not technically on their platform. But they also try to keep things like kid safe, kid friendly. So most, the Switch does have an online presence that you can play with others, but it's kind of expensive. And as I understand, it's not necessarily the best. But like most of their games are meant to be played either by yourself or with people in the same room. Like, when we get to the Switch, everything basically is intended to be played with others in the same room. That you can go online and play some of them, Well, there's Smash Brothers. You can get that online. That's more of a geared towards that kind of thing. But as far as like the more specific Nintendo titles, like Zelda has always been a single player game. And
yeah,
probably always will be. I take that back. They did the Hyrule Legends or something, where it was basically a fighting game. But they also have Zelda in the Smash Brothers. So if you want to go play her in the Smash Brothers, which is the only character I can do, then that's the way to go. But anyway, I'm off topic. So like with a Nintendo DS, other than the games, it comes with everything you need, basically. You want a storage case. But other than that, you're good to go once you decide.
And they do a fun job, too, with just, I don't know, like out of all the other consoles out there, they always seem to, they have a lot of accessories that they have for them, but they never seem to be like necessary accessories, you know?
Right. Like with,
it's like, yeah, you can buy this, but you really don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Whereas like with the Xbox and the PS4, like you get a controller. That's it. Mm-hmm. If you want to play with other people, you have to have more, and you have to buy the headphones, and then you have to buy the whatever. So,
the one thing I do know, because I haven't really been with Nintendo really since the 3DS, which is like you mentioned earlier. So I mean, I haven't been on it for a long time, but I really like their current gen system, like you can just set it up to be like you dock it at your TV. And then you can use the little, you know, remote, just like a, you know, standard video game remote.
Yep.
Or like you're mentioning, they kind of have been focusing a lot in handheld systems.
Right.
And they've done it smartly enough to where you can actually use this thing that you just dock at your TV on the subway or on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You can take it with you. And it's its own little TV screen.
And I think part of the reason they've done that is because, like, since online play isn't as big of a deal for the system, like, if you had an Xbox and didn't have online play, probably, 50% of your games are basically useless?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the games you probably, except, you know, for the big titles, but yeah, like Halo, you know, a ton of those games that are iconic for these systems you just wouldn't have.
Yeah, so Nintendo, kind of smart on their part in keeping not so dependent upon online play, their Switch system, it's tablet sized, it's like a small tablet, and it by itself, it has little, they're called Joy-Cons because they can't ever call anything a regular controller because it's Nintendo. But the little Joy-Cons, there's one on either side of it. And when you're playing directly on the device, those are just your controls, like a old school Game Boy, you know, where it's all built in. And then while it's docked, you can take those off of either side and use those away from it. And it works significantly better than the Wii ever did.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Wii, it had to have that special reflective bar. And if it wasn't positioned just right, or if you were not pointing your thing the right way, like, it just didn't work.
And you can really tell that Nintendo focuses on, like, family or, like, group play as well, more than any other console.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you can combine the two remotes together from either side of it to make one remote, mm-hmm. or you can use them separately for two remotes. And then you can also use the system itself, the Switch, as a remote.
Well,
I've seen on some games.
Oh, yeah, I suppose you could.
Yeah.
But
so it's like they really have geared it to be like really easy to just be a social aspect, which I think plays towards the strength of the system, is that it becomes less of a video game system and more part of the furniture, so to speak, that you use day to day.
Exactly.
Like the family couch or the dining table.
Uh-huh. And one of the really nice things about it is like you can play on your giant 85-inch screen, and the display is just as nice as if when it's on your little bitty tablet. You know, sometimes going between the two, there's not enough, I don't know, pixels or whatever. Like the display quality just isn't as nice a lot of times when you go from an itty bitty screen to a giant display. Like if you ever tried to play, we have a Super Nintendo as well, because we are totally a Nintendo family, that still has the little, there was an adapter that you could play Game Boy games on your Super Nintendo. And so they've had a lot of those kind of things where they like try to make it across different things. Like you could play it on your Game Boy, you could play it on the TV. Just depends on, you know, what's available. And so the Switch is very similar in that you can have this dock that's connected to your TV and it looks gorgeous on the screen. Like Zelda Breath of the Wild is, oh, so pretty. But they also, when you go to take it off, like it is just as pretty on the screen.
So do you know, have you seen anything future wise? Are they going to kind of stick with the Switch for a while? Or have they kind of been teasing at all what, you know, the next generation hardware is going to look like?
I have not seen any teasers, but I'm also like the big things that they've been talking about of late are like the different games that are coming out. Like there's going to be a new Fire Emblem, which is not a game that I'm particularly into, but that's a big deal. And then there's going to be some kind of, oh, the Pokemon came out that they're doing the Sword and Shield. I don't know if you've seen the 18 gajillion memes about that.
Yeah.
But they're a little bit excited about a new generation of Pokemon.
British generation.
Oh, yeah. Because we, anyway. So, but that's the other thing is like, people know what these things are. And we're on like, I think we're going into 8th or 9th generation of Pokemon. And they can just keep adding them. And it just, people love it. It's amazing. My son knows like 800 Pokemon. It's crazy. Anyway, for the Switch itself. So what comes in the regular box is there's this little console that's like the tablet. And then there's the two little Joy-Cons that go on either side. And like you said, those can be used together or separately. So really, those come in a package. So if you buy more of them, you're buying two at a crack, basically. I much prefer to play with two, especially Zelda. But you can split them up. So like we have four, technically, even though we really only have two sets. So that's really nice that you can more easily share those across the way. But anyway, so what comes in the box is this one tablet size thing, the two that go on either side. There is a dock in the box. But one thing about the dock is it's kind of like a mail slot holder almost, like it goes on either side of it. Mm-hmm. So it covers up the screen portion. Consequently, you're pulling it in and out of that thing a lot. So it's not included, but you want a screen protector because it's going to get scratched up. So
that's what I've heard. Yeah.
You want to make sure that you have that protected just because of the way the dock is built, which I don't know what the thinking behind that was, but whatever, it is what it is. But the other thing is that it's a USB-C connection in the dock to charge it.
Nice.
So as long as you have a USB-C cord, you can charge your device. So like both Nathan and my phones have that for a charge cord.
Yeah.
So when we were, you know, on our way to grandma's house, it was like, oh, here's a charge cord. Go ahead and, you know, charge your Switch. So that's been really, really nice to be able to do that kind of cross charging.
Just kind of on the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because all of the previous ones, well, I take that back. The Game Boys were all battery powered. But the other ones that were rechargeable, they all had their specialized Nintendo whatever for their charging, which was a pain. But so it's a USB-C and it comes with that cord. It comes with an HDMI cable, which is amazing because a lot of times you get these things and they don't have a flipping HDMI cable. Anyway, so there's an HDMI cable and the dock and the thing and the two Joy-Cons. I think that's all that came in the box. And the charge cord, of course. So to charge it, though, like it's just a USB-C cord. And the USB-C cord is also what plugs into the back of the dock. So you could theoretically just have the one cord and unplug it from your dock and plug it directly into your device if you needed to. But that's a pain, and nobody wants to do that. So, you know, just go buy your $5. Well, you probably want to spend a little bit more than that. But go buy a nice braided USB-C cord, and that can be your charge cord for not when it's not on the dock. And then, so those are like the required pieces. It all comes in the box, basically. Eventually, you're going to want, one of the really nice things is that it does have a micro SD card slot. So you can download things directly onto the Switch. It only has 32 gigabytes of memory. So you're going to want more space if you're going to be downloading games onto it and not use the little cartridge thing dingers.
Oh, yeah.
So you want, I personally went with 128 gigabytes because it was on sale. And you can kind of, you know, keep an eye out for whatever. As long as it's a micro SD card, it should be fine. It supports all the different kinds, which is amazing. A lot of times it's very specific as to what kind of SD card you have to have. So that's really nice. But then the other thing that you're going to want for your Switch, if you're traveling with it, is some form of a case to store all the stuff. So if you have, you know, just your Switch with the two Joy-Cons on either side, you'll want a place to put those. And then if you want to take extra Joy-Cons and you want to take your like extra games and cords and things to charge it with, you'll want something nice to put it in. And they make all kinds of different cases, everything from the very sleek slim, like it just fits that and a cord and maybe a couple of games, to like a huge case that fits. Oh, that's another thing. You can have your two Joy-Cons connected to it. It basically gives you grips like a regular Xbox controller would. And so it gives you a better handle on having two of them at once. And so there's those, and you can get those for more than one set of Joy-Cons. So you can have up to, I think, four sets of Joy-Cons altogether, which is really nice. But yeah, if you just have your device with you, those Joy-Cons actually charge while they are on the side of the device. So as long as you're charging the device, you're golden. If you have more than one set, however, you probably will want a little, they make like little stands to charge it, just like any other game system, or however you charge those. They make Joy-Con chargers. So we have one of those as well for our extra Joy-Cons. But yeah, so that's like everything you need to use it. But like you said, it's by far the most small child friendly as far as the button go, because basically as long as you can hit A, like the four buttons, and move your little joystick, you can play most of the games if there's a multi-person role. That's not necessarily always true with like the Xbox stuff, because you have to, you know, coordinate more fingers. So the Nintendo always tries to be more small,
a little more inclusive, and just able to be used by pretty much anybody, which is a smart move on their end.
But I don't know that I've seen any like accessibility pieces, really.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that the Xbox does better. But yeah, so that's Nintendo current run. Oh, the other thing is, because you can pull your screen out and play with it a lot, it tends to get fingered up. So you want to get have some nice cleaning wipes to go with it as well.
Always a good thing to carry around.
Same thing for the 3DS, because holy buckets, does my child play with a messy screen and it drives me up a wall. But anyway, that's a little mom being annoyed at not important things. So yeah, do you have any questions?
No, that covered it pretty well. Like I said, I didn't really know too much about Nintendo myself, so I was glad I had someone here that seemed to be quite a bit of a fan of it. So
just a little bit.
Yeah.
And as always, you can find us by searching for Service Desk Podcast. We're on Twitter, Facebook. You can find our website that way. And then if you'd like to create a ticket in our system, you can email us at servicedeskpodcast@gmail.com.
As always, just please rate and review us when you're able to, especially on iTunes. It'd be much appreciated. And make sure to leave a comment on what you've enjoyed.
Indeed. And I am Kim.
I'm Andrew.
And we are your techie friends.